Chapter 3 Smar suspected a lot of ship crews were crazy. For that matter, she suspected a fair few of the ships themselves weren't totally together in the sanity department either. There were only 20 people on the very fast picket Xenophobe, and Smar had noticed that, as a general rule, the smaller the crew, the weirder the behaviour. So she was already prepared for the ship's staff being pretty off the wall, even before the module entered the ship's hangar.
Achoo!
The young crewman sneezed, covering his nose with one hand while extending the other to Smar as she stepped from the module. Smar jerked her hand back, looking at the young man's red nose and streaming eyes.
Ace-scub, Miss Smar,
the fellow said, blinking and sniffing and looking hurt.
Welcome aboard.
Smar put her hand out again, cautiously. The crewman's hand was extremely hot. Thank you, Smar said. Scaffan Amtiskor, the drone said from behind her.
Hello.
The young man waved at the drone. He took a small piece of cloth from one sleeve and dabbed at his leaky eyes and nose. Are you entirely all right? Smar said.
Not really, he said. Got a cold. Please,
he indicated to one side.
Come with me.
A cold, Smar nodded, falling into step alongside the fellow. He was dressed in a jellaba, as though he'd just got out of bed.
Yes,
the young man said, leading the way through the Xenophobe's collection of small craft, satellites, and assorted paraphernalia towards the rear of the hangar. He sneezed again, sniffed.
Something of a pad on the ship, but the bow build.
Here, Smar, immediately behind the man as they walked between two closely parked modules, turned quickly back to look at Scaffan Amtiskor and mouthed the word,
What?
At it. But the machine wobbled, shrugging. Me neither, it printed on its aura field, in letters of grey on a rosy background.
Be all taught to be abusing to relax our immune systems and catch colds,
the young crewman explained, showing her and the drone into an elevator at one end of the hangar.
All of you?
Smar said as the door closed and the elevator rolled and rose. The whole crew?
Yes, though not all had the same time. The people who have recovered say it's very pleasant after it's over.
Yes, Smar said, glancing at the drone, which was keeping a standard pattern of formal blue on its aura field, apart from one large red dot on its side that probably only she could see. It was pulsing rapidly. When she noticed it, she almost started laughing herself. She cleared her throat. Yes, I suppose it would be. The young man sneezed mightily.
Due for a spot of R&R soon, are we?
Scaffan Amtiskor asked him. Smar nudged the machine with her elbow. The young crewman looked puzzledly at the machine.
Just finished some agility.
He glanced away to the elevator door as it started to open. Scaffan Amtiskor and Smar exchanged looks. Smar crossed her eyes. They stepped into a wide social area, floored and walled with some dark red wood, polished to the point of gleaming. It supported a variety of richly upholstered couches and chairs, and a few low tables. The ceiling wasn't particularly high, but very attractive, composed of great flutes of gathered-up material rippling in from the walls and hung with many little lanterns. From the light level, it looked to be early morning, ship time. A group of people around one of the tables broke up and came towards her.
Bispa,
the young crewman said, indicating Smar, his voice seeming to get thicker all the time. The other people, about 50 men and women, smiled, introduced themselves. She nodded, exchanged a few words. The drone said hello. One of the people in the group held a little bundle of brown and yellow fur, cradled against one's shoulder, rather as one might hold a baby. "Here," the man said, presenting the tiny furry creature to Smar. She took it reluctantly. It was warm, had four limbs arranged conventionally, smelled attractive, and wasn't any sort of animal she'd ever seen before. It had large ears on a large head, and, as she held it, it opened its huge eyes and looked at her. "That's the ship," the man who'd handed her the animal said.
"Hello,"
the tiny being squeaked. Smar looked it up and down. "You're the xenophobe?"
"It's representative, the bit you can talk to. You can call me Zenny."
It smiled. It had little round teeth.
"I know most ships just use a drone, but..."
It glanced at Skaven Amtiskor.
"They can be a bit boring, don't you think?"
Smar smiled, and sensed Skaven Amtiskor's aura flicker out of the corner of her eye. "Well, sometimes," she agreed.
"Oh, yes,"
the little creature said, nodding.
"I'm much cuter."
It wriggled in her hands, looking happy.
"If you like,"
it giggled.
"I'll show you to your cabin, yes?"
"Yes, good idea," nodded Smar, and put the thing over her shoulder. The crew people called out to say they'd see her later as she, the ship's bizarre remote drone, and Skaven Amtiskor headed for the accommodation section.
"Oh, you're nice and warm,"
the little brown and yellow creature mumbled sleepily, snuggling into Smar's neck as they headed down a deeply carpeted corridor for Smar's quarters. It stirred, and she found herself patting its back.
"Left here,"
it said at a junction. Then,
"That's us just breaking orbit now, by the way."
"Good," Smar said.
"Can I cuddle up with you when you sleep?"
Smar stopped, detached the creature from her shoulder with one hand and stared it in the face. "What?"
"Just for chumminess' sake,"
the little thing said, yawning wide and blinking.
"I'm not being rude. It's a good bonding procedure."
Smar was aware of Skaven Amtiskor glowing red just behind her. She brought the yellow and brown device closer to her face. "Listen, xenophobe."
"Zenny."
"Zenny, you are a million-ton starship, a torturer-class rapid offensive unit. Even..."
"But I'm demilitarized."
"Even without your principal armament, I bet you could waste planets if you wanted to."
"Oh, come on, any silly GC, you can do that."
"So what is all this shit for?" She shook the furry little remote drone quite hard. Its teeth chattered.
"It's for a laugh,"
it cried.
"Smar, don't you appreciate a joke?"
"I don't know. Do you appreciate being drop-kicked back to the accommodation area?"
"Ooh! What's your problem, lady? Have you got something against small furry animals or what?" "Look, Miss Smar, I know very well I'm a ship and I do everything I'm asked to do, including taking you to this frankly rather fuzzily specified destination, and do it very efficiently too. If there was the slightest sniff of any real action, and I had to start acting like a warship, this construct in your hands would go lifeless and limp immediately, and I'd battle as ferociously and decisively as I've been trained to. Meanwhile, like my human colleagues, I amuse myself harmlessly. If you really hate my current appearance, all right, I'll change it. I'll be an ordinary drone, or just a disembodied voice, or talk to you through Skaven Amtiskor here, or through your personal terminal. The last thing I want to do is offend a guest."
Smar pursed her lips. She patted the thing on its head and sighed.
Fair enough.
I can keep this shape?
By all means.
Oh, goody.
It squirmed with pleasure, then opened its big eyes wide and looked hopefully at her.
Cuddle?
Cuddle. Smar cuddled it, patted its back. She turned to see Scaffan Amtiscor lying dramatically on its back in midair, its aura field flashing the lurid orange that was used to signal sick drone in extreme distress. Smar nodded goodbye to the little brown and yellow animal as it waddled away down the corridor which led back to the social area. It waved back with one chubby little paw, then closed the cabin door and made sure the room's internal monitoring was off. She turned to Scaffan Amtiscor. How long are we on this ship for?
30 days, Scaffan Amtiscor suggested.
Smar gritted her teeth and looked round the fairly cosy-looking but, compared to the echoing spaces of the old power station mansion, rather small cabin. 30 days with a crew of viral masochists and a ship that thinks it's a cuddly toy. She shook her head, sat into the bedfield. Subjectively, drone, this could be a long trip. She collapsed back into the bed, muttering. Scaffan Amtiscor decided right now would probably still not be the best time to tell the woman about Zakalwe being missing.
"I'll just go and take a look round, if you don't mind," it said, drifting towards the door over the neat line of bags that was Smar's luggage.
"Yeah, on you go," Smar waved one arm lazily, then shucked off the jacket and let it fall to the deck. The drone had almost made it to the door when Smar sat bolt upright, a frown on her face, and said, "Wait a minute. What did the ship mean about—"
"Rather fuzzily specified destination?
Doesn't it know where the hell we're going?"
"Uh-oh," thought the drone. It spun in the air.
"Ah," it said. Smar's eyes narrowed. "We are just going to get Zakalwe, aren't we?"
"Yes, of course."
"We're not doing anything else."
"Absolutely not.
We find Zakalwe. We brief him. We take him to Verenhut's. Simple as that. We might be asked to hang around for a bit, overseeing, but that isn't definite yet."
"Yes, yes, I expected that, but..."
"Where exactly is Zakalwe?"
"Where exactly?" the drone said.
"Well, I mean, you know, that's..."
"All right," Smar said, exasperated. "Approximately, then."
"No problem," Scaffan Amtiscor said, backing off towards the door.
"No problem?" Smar said, puzzled.
"Yes, no problem.
We know that."
"Where he is?"
"Good."
Smar nodded.
"Well?"
"Well what?"
"Well," Smar said loudly, "where is he?"
"Krastalier."
Krastalier.
"That's where we're heading."
Smar shook her head, yawned.
"Never heard of it."
She flopped back in the bedfield, stretching.
"Krastalier."
Her yawn deepened. She put a hand to her mouth.
"You only had to say that the first time, goddammit."
"Sorry," the drone said.
Never mind."
Smar put out one hand, waved it through the bedside beam that controlled the cabin lights, so that they dimmed. She yawned again.
"Think I'll catch some sleep. Take my boots off, will you?"
Gently but quickly, the drone slipped Smar's boots off, gathered her jacket and hung it in a walk-in cupboard, swept the bags in there too, then, as Smar turned over in the bedfield, eyes fluttering closed, the drone slipped out of the room. It hovered in the air outside, looking at its reflection in the polished wood on the far side of the corridor.
"That,"
it said to itself, was close. Well, then it went for a wander. Smar had arrived on the Xenophobe just after breakfast, by ship time. When she awoke, it was early afternoon. She was completing her toilet while the drone sorted her clothes into type and colour order and hung or folded them in the cupboard, when the door chimed. Smar wandered out of the little bathroom area, wearing a pair of shorts, her mouth full of toothpaste. She tried saying open, but the toothpaste apparently stopped the room monitor from recognizing the word. She walked over and pressed the door open instead. Smar's eyes flicked wide. She yelped, spluttered, jumped back from the door, a scream gathering in her throat. The instant after her eyes had widened, before the signal to jump back from the door had travelled all the way to her leg muscles, there was an impression of almost invisibly sudden movement in the cabin, belatedly followed by a bang and a sizzling sound. There, stationed between her and the door, were all three of the drone's knife missiles, hovering roughly level with her eyes, sternum and groin. She was looking at them through a haze of field the machine had also thrown in front of her. Then it clicked off. The knife missiles swung lazily away through the air and clicked back into Scaffin Antiscor's casing. "Don't do that to me," the machine muttered, returning to sorting out Smar's socks. Smar wiped her mouth and stared at the 3-meter-tall, brown and yellow-coloured furry monster cowering in the corridor outside the door. "Ship. Zenny, what the hell are you doing?" "I'm sorry," the huge creature said, its voice only a little deeper than when it had been baby-sized. "I thought if you didn't relate to a small furry animal, perhaps a bigger version..." "Shit," Smar said, shaking her head. "Come in," she called, heading back for the bathroom area. "Or did you just want to show me how much you've grown?" She rinsed out the paste and spat. Zenny squeezed through the door, stooped, and sidled into a corner.
"Sorry about that, Scaffin Antiscor."
"No problem," the other machine replied.
No, Ms. Sma," Zenny called. "I actually wanted to talk to you about..."
Scaffin Antiscor went still just for a second. There was, in fact, a fairly lengthy, detailed and slightly heated exchange between the drone and the ship's mind during that time, but Smar was only aware of Zenny pausing as it spoke.
"About having a fancy dress party this evening in your honour," the ship improvised.
Smar smiled from the bathroom area. "That's a lovely idea, ship. Thank you, Zenny." "Yes, why not?"
"Good, I just thought I'd check with you first. Any ideas about costumes?"
Smar laughed. "Yeah, I'll go as you. Make me one of those suits you're wearing."
"Ha. Yes, good idea. Actually, that might be rather a common choice, but we'll make it 2 people can't go as the same thing. Right, I'll talk to you later."
Zenny lumbered from the room and the door slid shut. Smar appeared out from the bathroom area, slightly surprised at this sudden departure, but just shrugged. "Short but eventful visit," she observed, rummaging through the socks Scaffin Antiscor had just carefully arranged in chromatic order.
"That machine's weird."
"What do you expect?" Scaffin Antiscor said. "It's a starship." "You might," the ship mind communicated to Scaffin Antiscor, "have told me you were keeping the size of our target destination from her."
"I am hoping," the drone replied, "that our people already out there will find the guy we are looking for and give us an exact position, in which case Smar will never need to know there was ever any problem."
"Indeed, but why not just be honest with her in the first place?"
"Ha! You don't know Smar."
"Oh,
do I take it she's temperamental?"
What do you expect? She's a human.
The ship prepared a feast, and put as many human brain chemistry-altering chemicals into the various dishes and drinks as was normally regarded proper, without attaching a specific sanity warning to each bowl, plate, jug, or glass. It told the crew about the party and rearranged the social area, setting up a variety of mirrors and reverser fields, with a total guest list of only 22, not including itself. Making the place look suitably crowded was one of the major obstacles it faced in trying to encourage the feel of a serious, thoroughgoing whoopee. Smar breakfasted, was shown round the ship, though there was little to see. The ship was almost all engine, and spent most of the rest of the day reviewing her knowledge of the Verenhut's cluster's history and politics. The ship sent formal invitations to each of the crew, and specified a strict rule of no shop talk. It hoped that this, plus the narcotic wealth of the consumables, would keep everybody off the subject of where exactly they were heading for. It had toyed with the idea of just telling people there was a problem here and asking them not to talk about it, but suspected there were at least two of the crew who would take such a prescription as a challenge to their integrity, requiring them to raise the issue at the first possible opportunity. It was on occasions like this that the xenophobe tended to consider changing its status to that of an unstaffed ship, but it knew it would miss the humans if it did decide to ask them to leave. They were fun to have around, usually. The ship played loud music, showed exciting screen hollows, and set up a fabulous surrounding hollow landscape of lush green and blue, filled with floating bushes and hovering trees where strange eight-winged birds capered and beyond which a glowing white layer of mist, plied by tall feathery cloud ships, extended to necks stretchingly tall cliffs of pastel-shaded rock, set about with further small clouds, draped with blue and sparkling gold waterfalls, and topped by fabulous cities of spires and slender bridges. Ship-slaved soligrams of famous historical figures wandered about the party, adding to the illusion of numbers, and were only too happy to engage the disguised revellers in conversation. More treats and surprises were promised for later. Smar went as Zenny, Scaffin Amtiskor as a model of the xenophobe, and the ship itself produced yet another remote drone, an aquatic one, still brown and yellow, but looking like a rather fat and large-eyed fish, and floating in a field-held metre-diameter sphere of water which drifted through the party space like some odd balloon. Ais Diskav, who you've met before, the ship drone said, voice sounding rather bubbly as it introduced Smar to the young man who'd greeted her in the hangar the day before. And Jetart Rhein. Smar smiled, nodded at Diskav, making a mental note to stop thinking of him as Diskav, and the young woman at his side. Hello again, how do you do?
Hello,
said Diskav, dressed as some sort of ancient cold-climate explorer, all swathed in furs.
Hi, Jetart Rhein said.
She was quite short and round, very young-looking, and her skin was so black it was almost blue. She wore some ancient and surprisingly brightly coloured military uniform, and sported a smooth-bore projectile rifle slung over one shoulder. She sipped from a glass and said,
I know there's no shop talk, Ms. Smar, but frankly, Ais and I have been wondering why our
the ship drone said, its water sphere suddenly collapsing. Water crashed all around the feet of Smar, Rhein, and Diskav, all of whom jumped back a little. The fish drone fell to the redwood deck and flapped around.
Water,
it croaked. Smar picked it up by the tail.
What happened?
She asked it.
Field malfunction. Water. Quickly.
Smar looked at Diskav and Rhein, both of whom seemed rather bemused. Scaffin Amtascore, in its starship disguise, wound quickly through the partygoers towards them.
Water, the ship drone repeated, wriggling.
A frown gathered on Smar's brow, inside the brown and yellow suit. She looked at the woman dressed as a soldier. What were you about to say, Miss Frine?
I was...
A 1 in 512 scale model of the very fast picket xenophobe thumped into the woman, making her stagger backwards, dropping her glass.
Hey!
Desgarve said, pushing the offending Scaffin Amtascore away. Rhine looked annoyed and rubbed her shoulder.
Sorry, clumsy me, Scaffin Amtascore said loudly. Water, water!
Yelped the ship drone, struggling in Smar's furry paw. Shut up, Smar told it. She went close to Jetart Hrein, putting her own body between the woman and Scaffin Amtascore.
Miss Hrein, complete your question, would you? I just wanted to know why...
The floor shook. The entire landscape around them trembled. Light flashed from high above, and as they looked up, they saw the fabulous gleaming cities of the clifftops far above disappear in vast blooms of light, which slowly faded, leaving falling clouds of debris, crashing towers and disintegrating bridges. The mighty cliffs split asunder, and kilometers-high tsunami of seething lava and boiling grey-black clouds of smoke and ash burst out, exploding over the quivering landscape below, where the cloud ships were sinking and the eight-winged birds were spinning so fast their wings were coming off, sending them spinning into the blue-green shrubbery in squawking explosions of feathers and leaves. Jetart Hrein stared in disbelief. Smar grabbed the woman's collar with one paw and shook her.
"It's trying to distract you," she yelled.
She turned to the fish drone in her other paw.
"Cut it out!" she screamed at it.
She shook the woman again, while Disgarve tried to pry her paw away from the woman. Smar shook his hand off.
What were you trying to say?
Why don't we know where we're going? Hrein shouted into Smar's face, over the noise of the earth splitting open in a gout of flame. A huge black shape reared from the chasm, red-eyed.
"We're going to Crastalier!" Smar yelled.
A vast silver human baby appeared in the sky, shining, beatific and bewrayed, spun about with glowing figures.
"So what?"
Hrein bellowed, as lightning zapped from mega-baby to earth-beast and thunder assaulted the ears. "Crastalier's an open cluster. There must be 500,000 stars in it." Smar froze. The hollows went back to the way they had been before the cataclysms. The music resumed, but it was quieter now, and very soothing. The ship's crew stood around looking mystified. There was much shrugging. The Piscine ship drone and Scaffin Amtascore exchanged looks. The ship drone, still held in Smar's paw, suddenly became the hollow of a fish skeleton. Scaffin Amtascore projected the model of the xenophobe, tumbling, disintegrating, and trailing smoke to the deck. They both flashed back to their previous disguises as Smar turned slowly and looked at them both.
"An open cluster?" she said, and took off the brown and yellow head of the fancy dress suit.
Smar's mouth was in the shape of a smile. It was not an expression Scaffin Amtascore had learnt to view with anything other than extreme trepidation.
"Oh, shit.
I think we are in the presence of one annoyed human female, Scaffin Amtascore."
"You don't say. Any ideas?"
"None whatsoever. You can feel this. My fish-like ass is out of here."
"Ship, you can't do this to me."
"Can and am. This is your prototype. Talk to me later. Bye."
The fish drone went limp in Smar's paw. She let it drop to the water-slicked floor. The drone dispensed with the warship disguise. It floated in front of her, fields on clear. It dipped its front a little, held it there. "Smar," it said quietly. "I'm sorry. I didn't lie, but I did deceive." "My cabin," Smar said calmly, after a brief pause. "Excuse us," she said to Disgarve and Harine, and walked away, followed by the drone. She floated on the bed in the lotus position, naked but for the shorts, the Zenny suit discarded on the floor. She was glanding calm, and she looked more sad than furious. Scaphinamtiscor, expecting a fight, was feeling awful, faced with such measured disappointment. "I thought if I told you, you wouldn't come. Drone, this is my job." "I know, but you were so reluctant to leave. After 3 years, with no warning, what do you expect?" "But how long did I actually hold out? Even knowing about the stand-in? Come on, Drone. You told me what the situation was, and I accepted. There was no need to keep quiet about Zakalwi giving us the slip." "I'm sorry," the drone said very quietly. "This is inadequate, I know, but I really am sorry. Please say you might be able to forgive me one day." "Oh, don't take the contrition bit too far. Just tell me things in future." "All right." Smar let her head drop for a moment, then brought it back up. "You can start by telling me how Zakalwi got away. What did we have trailing him?" "A knife missile." "A knife missile?" Smar looked suitably amazed. She rubbed her chin with one hand. "Quite a late model, too," the drone said. "Nanoguns, monofilament warps, effector, 0.7 value brain." "And Zakalwi got away from this beast?" Smar was almost laughing. "Not just away, he wasted it." "Shit!" Smar breathed. "I didn't think Zakalwi was that smart." "Was he smart, or just incredibly lucky?" "What happened? How did he do it?" "Well, it's very secret," the drone said, "so please don't tell anybody at all." "My honor," Smar said ironically, palm on chest. "Well," the drone said, making a sighing noise, "it took him a year to set up, but on the place where we dropped him after his last job for us, the local humanoids shared their planet with large sea-going mammals of about equivalent intelligence. Quite a viable symbiotic relationship, with much cross-cultural contact. Zakalwi, using the exchange we'd given him as payment for his work, bought a company which made medical and signalling lasers. His trap involved a hospital facility the humanoids were setting up on the coast of an ocean to treat these sea-going mammals. One of the pieces of medical equipment being tested was a very large nuclear magnetic resonance scanner."
"A what?"
"Fourth most primitive way of looking inside your average water-based living being."
"Go on."
"The process involves the use of extremely strong magnetic fields. Zakalwi was supposedly testing a laser attached to the machine, on a holiday when there was nobody else around. When he somehow got the knife missile to enter the scanning machine and then turned on the power." "I thought knife missiles weren't magnetic." "They're not, but there was just enough metal in it to set up crippling eddy currents if it tried to move too fast."
"But it could still move?"
"Not fast enough to get out of the way of the laser Zakalwi had set up at one end of the scanner. It was only supposed to illuminate, to help produce hollows of the mammals, but Zakalwi had in fact installed a military strength device. It grilled the knife missile."
"Wow."
Smar nodded, staring down at the floor. "The man never ceases to amaze." She looked at the drone.
Zakalwi must have wanted away from us awful bad.
It looks that way, agreed the drone.
So maybe there's no way he'll want to work for us again.
Maybe he never wants even to hear from us again.
I'm afraid that must be a possibility.
Even if we can find him.
Quite.
And all we know is that he's somewhere in an open cluster called Crustelier.
Smar's voice sounded tinged with disbelief.
It's a bit more focused than that, Scaffin Amtiskor said. There are maybe 10 or 12 systems he could be in by now, if he left immediately after stiffing the knife missile, and took the fastest ships available. Thankfully, the tech level in the meta-civilization isn't that high. The drone hesitated, then said, To be honest, we might have been able to catch up with him if we'd gone in fast and strong immediately. But I think the controlling minds were so impressed with Zakalwe's trick, they thought he deserved to get away. We kept a very general watch on the volume, but it's only in the last 10 days the search has become serious. We're bringing in ships and people from wherever we can now. I'm sure we'll find him.
10 or 12 systems, drone? Smar said, shaking her head.
20-plus planets. Maybe 300 sizable space habitats, not including ships, of course.
Smar closed her eyes. Her head shook.
I don't believe this.
Scaffin Amtiskor thought the better of saying anything.
The woman's eyes opened.
Want to pass on a suggestion or two?
Certainly.
Forget the habitats, and forget any planets that aren't fairly standard. Check out deserts, temperate zones, forests, but not jungles, and no cities.
She shrugged, rubbed her mouth with her hand.
If he's still trying hard to stay hidden, we'll never find him. If he only wanted to get away to live his own life without being watched, we have a chance. Oh, and look for wars, of course. Especially wars that aren't too big. And interesting wars. Know what I mean?
Right. Transmitted.
Normally the drone would have poured scorn on this bit of amateur psychological sleuthing, but this time it decided to bite its metaphorical tongue and relayed Smar's remarks to the unresponding ship for transmission to the search fleet ahead of them.
Smar took a deep breath, shoulders rising and falling.
Party still going on?
Yes, Scaffin Amtiskor said, surprised. Smar jumped off the bed and stepped into the Zenny suit.
Well, let's not be party poopers.
She fastened the suit, scooped up the brown and yellow head, and walked for the door.
Smar, the drone said, following, I thought you'd be mad.
Maybe I will be once the calm wears off, she admitted, opening the door and putting the suit head on.
But just right now, I really can't be bothered.
They went down the corridor. She looked back at the clear-fielded machine behind her.
Come on, drone. It's meant to be fancy dress. But try something a little more imaginative than a warship this time.
The machine said. Any suggestions?
I don't know, Smar sighed. What would suit you? I mean, what is the perfect role model for a cowardly, lying, patronizing, hypocritical bastard with no trust in or respect for another person?
There was silence from behind as they approached the noise and light of the party. So she turned round and, instead of the drone, saw a classically proportioned, handsome, but somehow anonymous-looking young man following her down the corridor, his gaze just moving up from her behind to her eyes.
Smar laughed.
Yes, very good.
She walked a few more steps.
On second thoughts, I think I preferred the warship.